You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Someone else's success is not your failure, except when it is.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And I'm Joe Iconis, and you're listening to Album Podcast on the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is our final episode of this podcast, and it is the final track on the album, Try Again. So on this episode, you'll get to hear about the origin story of the song and how a particular experience inspired this to be performed initially at a porn factory we were all very fond of at the time.
Yeah, and you'll also hear the future plans for Album Podcast now that we've finished the album. So please listen to this very special final episode of Album Podcast.
Just try and try and try and try and try and try and try till the day that you die.
Tell us about when you first wrote Try Again.
I first wrote Try Again in July of 2015. And the context for me writing the song was very specific, and it was it had to do with a lot of things, but the sort of the trigger for it was the opening of Be More Chill at Two River. And so Be More Chill opened at Two River in June of 2015, and leading up to the opening of Be More Chill, a lot of people were really excited about the show. A lot of like industry people. And everyone kept saying things to me like, oh, I think that this is going to be the one. This is going to be your show that finally does the thing you want your shows to do, which is go to New York to like a fancy off-Broadway nonprofit and then go to Broadway. Like everyone was just like, this one is like, it feels like a commercial, but it's strange. It has all these things going for it. So there's all this like buzz around the show. And so then the show opened, and the New York Times sent a major critic. And like every other show I've literally ever done in my whole entire life, the critic gave it a bad review, really bad review, said it was a piece of shit. And because of that, all of the buzz immediately went away, like immediately went away. And it's something that I've talked about quite often in interviews and such. And people always want to do the like reviews don't matter thing. But I cannot impress upon our dear listeners enough how for a show like the sort of show that I write, they just do matter because you know, the people who let those shows have other lives listen to the reviews. And so
not only I say this a lot too, not only did the buzz disappear, but people literally canceled their tickets, which I always want to remind, like the day after opening or the day after the review came out, actually, like all these people who were coming to see the show to consider moving it to New York were like, okay, next time we're canceling our tickets. There's no point in attending. And I think, you know, the intention of saying reviews don't matter is people want to say reviews shouldn't matter. And it's the same as like, you know, human rights shouldn't be political. Like, yeah, of course, but like they are. So we have to claim that. And so we can address it. And it's like, yeah, reviews of course do matter.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The canceling tickets thing is so fun. I mean, it happens literally every time you get a bad Times review. And I have since because I've mentioned that in interviews and post, you know, Be More Chill coming to New York, I've had producers jokingly say to me, you know, I was one of those people who canceled my tickets, ha 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 ha, which is like a little bit, it's a little bit gross, but kind of validating to be like, I'm not crazy. All of those people didn't just get the flu after the bad New York Times review, you know? And so at any rate, so like the show opens and the buzz goes away and I was really heartbroken because, you know, this had come after Blood Song of Love and I was working on another project at the time that I was about to get fired from. And I was working on a few things and nothing was quite happening for me. And I was really frustrated. And we booked this show at Shekinah Nefax Musical Theater Factory, the old porn studio. And we were doing this, you know, Iconis and Family show. And I think as we talked about, that was the show in July of 2015 that, Amphibian was performed at in concert for the first time and a few other things. And I wrote this song for that show, Try Again. And it really was a song that like kind of came out fully formed, you know. It's like I knew that I wanted to write something that had the like the hook of if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Because to me, like those sort of sayings, you know, are like it's the same thing as like reviews don't matter. It's like these things that people say and don't actually think about them or don't actually think about what it means. And so it's like I wanted to write something that was like that was about that and was about, you know, resiliency and was about like living in your depression and then, you know, dusting yourself off and trying again. And so I wrote it and I did it at that show. And there's a video of me doing it at that show. And it's the ultimate, like, I feel like the song kind of speaks for itself. It's like as autobiographical as any song could be, I feel like. And it's something that's so specifically about artists. But I do think, and I hope that it other people can relate to it. Like, because I do think it applies to anyone. And certainly people have told me that that song means a lot to them, who are not, you know, artists or not, you know, like artists on the surface, at least. Yeah,
I feel like the premiere of it sort of felt similar to the premiere of Broadway Here I Come, and that the audience knew how personal it was. And like, you know, in every subsequent performance, it probably became a little more about the song. But in this moment, it felt like, oh, we're bummed about this thing that happened too. And like, we realize what inspired you to write this. And we're like on this personal journey with you. And I also feel like this song was performed more than just that time at the factory. Like I associate this song with the Musical Theater Factory. Was there ever another song you considered being the last song on the album, or did you always know that this would be the last song on album?
I was kind of going back and forth between this song or Last on Land ending the album. And I feel like everyone else making the album kind of assumed it would be Last on Land just because Last on Land is so huge. And the ending of it feels so like warm and fuzzy. But I always felt like, you know, if a song like Last on Land or the Goodbye song is a great final song for a live show, I always loved the idea of the last song on the album being something that was kind of unexpected and kind of smaller and a little bit simpler. And so Try Again really, like, you know, sort of announced itself as being the closing song. And to me, there's a nice symmetry between the first song on the album being Album, which is, you know, which starts with me and a piano and then adds a whole bunch of people. And then this one, you know, being the closing song, which is, you know, me and a piano and a beautiful French horn solo by Kira Sims, but then just kind of ends with me and piano again. It felt like a nice full circle moment. And also it's like, I think that, you know, if Last on Land is this like this grand, gorgeous statement about, I mean, gorgeous, like, because of the arrangement. I'm not calling my own song gorgeous. Even I like it a lot, but, you know, it's like, if Last on Land feels like this, like, huge, sweeping, you know, statement on friendship and art and perseverance and all of that, I like that Try Again is a little bit pricklier and it's a little bit scrappier. And it's about, like, you know, it's not always like that, you know, like a life in the arts and a, you know, an existence collaborating with a community of people. It's not always beautiful and it's not always romantic, but it's worthy and it, you know, you can prevail in it, amongst the hardships. And so that's what Try Again feels like to me. And I like the sentiment, you know, the sentiment of it ending the album feels correct. It's like the better luck next time. And as long as we're doing it together, we'll be all right. And that feels like a good way to end a 3.5 hour epic album.
It feels like if this album came out in the 90s, I feel like a lot of musical theater writers and like solo artists who made albums would always have like a bonus track that was like a smaller type number at the end. It would always be labeled as a bonus track, but it was just, you know, recorded at the same time. This would have been labeled bonus track in the 90s is what I'm saying.
I 100% think you're correct. Yeah. I certainly think it would have been ripped off a lot by other artists if it came out in the 90s. And they'd be like, yeah, it would always be like the big ending song. Yeah. And then the little piano ballad right after.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Has anyone else performed this other than you?
Yeah, Lance Reedman has performed it. Lance Reedman performed it at the big Jazz at Lincoln Center show that we did right before the world ended in 2020. And he did it at the 54 Below shows we did last summer, summer 2022. And his take on it is, it's like, any, when Lance performs it, it feels kind of like he's like a deranged host of a children's show or something, you know. It's like, I feel like it feels like weirdly like Sesame Street, you know, on antidepressants or something.
Lance Reedman is Mr. Bungie is Try Again.
yeah, exactly. And he really dials into the, like, the sort of panic of it and the anxiety of an unstable life in the arts. Whereas I think mine is a little bit more wistful and a little bit more like, you know, lived in or something. But yeah, I think
he's
it's
the only,
only
one. Yeah.
He's the only one. Yeah. I think it's only Lance and I. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this brings us to the end of this podcast. So thank you to all the listeners for geeking out with us and listening to us talk about, you know, the important stuff and the minutiae of all these songs.
Yeah, I've been so blown away by people's responses to this podcast. And it's been really cool having people quote things at me that I've said that I have no memory of saying on this podcast.
Also, thank you, like, to the Broadway Podcast Network, not just for letting us make this, but for having it be something evergreen that will just exist, because as many people listen to it already, like, I'm excited, you know, as you said, like, years from now, for someone to be like, oh, I know this about this song because I just listened to the podcast. So we're really grateful to have kind of put all this stuff down on the record.
And I think it'll be really nice for when we're very elderly, Tepper, and our memories are not what they used to be, to have this, to go back to listen to remind us of where things came from when we're,
I already feel like that with some parts of, you know, I'll be like, oh, when did this happen in terms of, you know, shows we worked on together or anything? And I'll look at what Facebook used to be to tell me, because I'm like, oh, I wrote on Jason's wall last night that this was the performance where that happened. We don't have those records. Like, that's not what social media is in 2023. And unless we actually like create, you know, things like this that are real, you know, documentations of it, they disappear. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Broadway Podcast Network. Which album are we doing next, Tepper?
Well, I guess album two.
Or we could just do Ragtime.
Yeah. I've been listening to Woman of the Year a lot lately. We could do that.
Oh, yeah. catch us next season on the album podcast.
The album podcast, Woman of the Year.
Yeah. Thanks, Teps.
Thank you, Joe. See the people feel the heat and apply
yourself again. Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album. Just try and try and try and try and try and try and try till the day that we die. And I'll try hard as I can to thrive if you help me survive as long as we're alive.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.